She can be the best woman in town, goes to church every time the doors open, and still not be walking in faith and be sick. Because see, I was a good kid. I went to church. You know, I did all the things I thought right. I was a man of integrity and everything. I mean, I never lied, didn't lie, steal, cheat, commit adultery, and didn't do none of those things. And I was a faithful man. I worked hard for my company. I never cheated him out of nothing. In fact, I took a lie detector test one time when I went to work for Seaboard World Airlines in New York before I started flying DCAs. And on a lie detector test, they asked me real hard questions like, is your real name Thurman Scrivener? Are you really married to Betty? You know, I mean, they ask questions like that. Is your wife's name Betty? Everything they ask could be answered yes or no. That's the way they wanted it. Then the guys were going down through the list. He said, have you ever stole anything? I thought a minute, and I said, yes. He said, what? Now, then, this is what we're getting ready to take. He's asking questions before he hooked me to the machine. I said, you know, one time when I was working for the Chevrolet house, when I was a kid, I said, I changed the oil on my car one night and used 5 quarts of Gulf Pride oil. I planned to pay for it the next day. It cost a quart, and I forgot to pay for that, and I never paid for that dollar and a quarter worth of oil. He said, is that the, you consider you stole that? I said, well, I had to because I didn't pay for it. He said, is that the most expensive thing you've ever stole in your life? I said, as far as I know, that's it. Everything else I paid for. So when he comes to the question, he says, have you ever stolen anything worth more than a dollar and a quarter? I said, no. I was a man of integrity. We get to the end of the test. It was a long test. Asked me a lot of questions. We get to the end. He says, one last question. I said, okay. He said, what's 17 times 353? I stopped. I said, 17 times 353? He said, yes. I said, well, I'll have to figure that out. He said, okay, figure it out. So I said, okay, 17. And he said, as soon as I started, he said, that's good. That's all I want to know. I said, what do you mean? He said, I thought you were dead. I thought you had learned how to master one of these machines. He said, I never give a lie detector test to a man that didn't lie to me at least one place on the test. But he said, everywhere the line was perfectly flat. He said, I thought, well, I'll ask him, and said, when I ask him to do this mathematics, if he's alive, when he starts to compute that, his systems are going to start working, and I ought to get a rise. And he said, well, you went off the screen. So he said, hey, you're alive. So he said, you didn't lie to me one time. I said, no, I don't lie. I'm not a liar. Now see, but was I still sick anyway? Yeah, sure. I mean, a man of integrity takes his wife to church, children to church, do a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a visitor, everything, but I'm still sick. But you know, if you'd have hung around with me, you'd have heard me say these kind of things. Well, it's fall again, or it's spring again, cold weather's coming in, you know, so I guess flu times are right around, you know, everybody, I have to have the flu at least once a year. That's the kind of words I used to speak. And so guess who had the flu at least once a year? Me, because I didn't know the promises of God. But now I've learned how to lock on to them. And they work. They work. So where is your miracle? In your mouth. How did you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Is that right? You had to speak it and believe it, right? What if you spoke it but didn't believe it in here? Then you ain't saved. You're not saved. You need to make sure, don't you? But see, sometimes somebody says, well, I'm saved. I went to church 20 years ago, and I went down front, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, have you been to church much lately? Well, no, I ain't been since that day. You didn't get nothing. You know that? You didn't get anything. You just voiced something. You didn't believe it in your heart. But if you'd have believed it in your heart, the Holy Ghost would have come inside of you, and He would have convicted you of sin, and He would have got you back in church. So when people say, yeah, I'm okay, I believe in Jesus, I'm not sure. I'm not real sure. But I will have to say, one time I asked God that question. I'd been out to Abilene to a meeting, and there were some people there done some things, and I thought, oh, God, if those people are really Christians, I said, Lord, on the way home from Abilene, 3-hour drive. I said, Lord, there must be a scripture somewhere in your word that will confirm to me how I can tell if a man is really a Christian or not. Would you please reveal to me that verse? I said, thank you, Lord. I'd wait a minute or two and I wouldn't hear anything. I'd ask him again. So for 3 hours, I asked that question over and over and over. How can I tell who is a Christian? And then finally, just before I got home, he said, son, the answer to your question is in Acts 10:42. Let's see what that says. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. I'm going to tell you, I didn't understand that at that time. I agonized over that scripture for 3 months. That'll show you how dense I can be. 3 months, and I still didn't get it. One day I said, Lord, I ask you how to tell who's lost and saved. I said, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a scripture that would tell me. And finally, he said, son, I commanded you to do one thing. What do you see he commanded you and me to do?
Preach.
The gospel. That's all you and me are supposed to do, right? And then who's going to be the one that's going to tell whether lost or saved? The Lord. That's right. And just like he said, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus, which is ordained of God to be the judge of the lost and the saved. Don't worry about it, son. That's not your job. I mean, I'm God, not you. All you do is preach it, and I'll do the rest. One day when they stand in front of me, I will know who really accepted me as Savior and who didn't. And that's just like today. When we try to get healed, he knows our heart. He alone can read our heart. So whenever we step into the world of faith, then just like this thing right here is either your best friend or your worst enemy. 1 Peter 3:10. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:10 and see what that says. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days. Now, do you want to love life?
Yes.
You want to see good days?
Yes.
Then there's a requirement. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak. How much, Kyle?
No.
Now, who would ever dream that your mouth would make you sick or afflict you? But you know it will. Like I say, it's either your best friend or your worst enemy. And one of the ways it does it, the bit most, is we wake up and the devil's there and a pain is in our body. And we really don't know who we are as children of God. And your first statement out of your mouth is, oh man, I got a pain in my side this morning. The devil's saying, what do you think it is? He's whispering right there in your ear. What do you think it is? You think maybe you got appendicitis this morning? You think maybe you got cancer? Well, I don't think I got cancer, but I might have appendicitis. You see where I'm coming from? It's just like that doctor that wrote that book, Hung by Your Tongue. Anybody ever read that book? Anybody read the book, Hung by Your Tongue? You have, huh? If you haven't read that book, you need to look it up on the internet and get it. That guy was a engineer, and then when he got over into, in his last stages, working on his PhD in engineering, he got into the heart, and when he got into the heart and he saw this magnificent thing, he said, man, I'm going to be a heart specialist. I'm not going to be an engineer. I love being a cardiologist. And so he got his PhD and actually became a medical doctor. And this is what he wrote in this book. He said, I started noticing that when people come to me as a heart specialist, I would ask them the question, do you believe you had a heart attack? He said, I begin to take notes. Every human being that says, no, doc, I don't think I've had a heart attack. I may have some problems somewhere in here, but I believe I got a strong heart and there's nothing wrong with my heart, but I got some pains in my chest, but I don't believe I'm having a heart attack. He said, out of all the people that I've checked over all these years, not one single person that said they didn't believe they'd had a heart attack, not one of them had had a heart attack. But he said, every person that come in here, I said, what's wrong with you? Oh, doc, I got pains in my chest. I just know I've had a heart attack. I believe I'm having a heart attack. He said, without exception, every human being that I checked was either in the beginning stages or in the final stages of a heart attack. And he wrote the book called Hung by Your Own Tongue. Isn't that amazing? You know, we don't realize that scriptures like Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Who's he talking about there? Jesus. If Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sickness, once you repent of sin, then he's already taken it for you. So the devil has no more legal claim to you. Once you repent of sin, he has no claim. Now then, it all depends. Are you going to fight the fight of faith and drive him away, or are you going to let him take you under? That's what it's all about. And when you're fighting the fight of faith, walking in obedience to God's word, the devil and God both knows when your faith level is there. And when your faith level is there, well, let's go to Matthew 17:20, and let's look and see what this talks about here, about this faith. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, back up one verse. Then came the disciple to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now, if the disciples, which had been ordained according to Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 7, they had already been ordained by God to cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, and everything else, then why, when they got over there to this boy, why could they not heal this boy? So they didn't understand. So they come to the Lord and said, Lord, why could not we cast out this devil out of this boy? And Jesus answered unto them, said, because of your unbelief. I wonder what he would say to us today.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Is Any Sick Among You? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.